Podcasting from baseball heaven, St. Louis, Missouri, home to float trips, gooey butter cake, and the Gateway Arch. This is the Navigate the Rapids podcast, where you find out how to effectively run and market your business. And now, here's your host, Will Hanke.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Navigate the Rapids broadcast for today. My name is Will Hanke. This is the broadcast where we help you effectively run and market your business. I'm pretty excited about today's guest. I've known Bill for quite some time, and we're talking today about sales, and we're going to talk about systems, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things. So, Bill, it's great to have you today.
Well, I couldn't be more excited to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you coming. I know that you have worked with, you grew up in a family business, and you've worked with some pretty big businesses too. Tell me about that.
Well, my career was with Sara Lee and with Marriott. And interestingly enough, I did some purchasing work, some sales, and had operations experience. And so being able to see things from those three perspectives, you know, those three points of view, helps me today to be a better salesman because I can see things, you know, through those three different lenses.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, really, it's interesting. I think my best selling experience was as a buyer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's kind of what's kind of funny about it. But then my wife Ann and I came to St. Louis in 89 and went to work with Allen Foods. They were a large regional food service distributor. And we grew that business from $100 million to about $280 million over a 20-year period of time. So I was pretty excited about that.
Yes, yeah, so that's right about what I'm making right now, too.
Good. Good. Well, glad to see you're giving yourself a pay increase. The funny thing about that was, Will, that Alan really gave me a chance to put to use some of the, you know, stuff that I learned in large corporations. You know, so obviously there's a lot of stuff that doesn't work, but some of those things like systems and procedures were pretty good fits. So that, you know, really helped Alan, and it helped me sharpen my skills.
Yeah. So with since you're coming from a large company, typically the marketing is done by a department. How does that, you know, that obviously that's different with small businesses. You know, a lot of them outsource that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, when I left the big company, because I was a sales manager, you know, I was used to having all that work for me.
Right.
My marketing department. So that was a little shocking when that first happened. But it didn't take me too long to figure out that I'm not a marketer. You know, I really am a sales guy, and I think they're two different things. I really surrounded myself with a bunch of marketing people. That's where you and I met, was when I was in the middle of forming that. And, of course, we set up Experts for Entrepreneurs as a result of that. But, you know, that whole thing came about as a result of the fact that I'm not a marketer, and I want to have the best marketing people I can find in the area. And so that's where we are today.
Yeah, that's a great group. I really enjoy being part of the Experts for Entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And it'd be exciting to see if at some point that expands to places beyond St. Louis. Because there's groups of experts in every city, obviously, and it's pretty exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how we learn from each other? You know, I can't name the number of things that I come away with. You know, like your last meeting on Wednesday, the takeaways are amazing. You just can't do all these things on your own. There's too much to know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, one of the big things we've learned at the E4E, as we call it, is we talked about the book Work the System by Sam Carpenter.
Yes.
And I know that personally, systems have really helped my business grow. What do you know about the importance of systems?
Well, you know, that's probably the single biggest thing that I learned in corporate America is the importance of systems and having processes. So when I think about selling well, I kind of break it up into three different, kind of like a beginning, a middle, and an ending when it comes to selling. So, and of course, you're an expert there in filling the pipeline. You know, what do you do to fill the pipeline? You know, how do you get new prospects? How do you find new people to talk with? But once you do get them, then you've got to qualify them. You know, and you've got to have a discussion around whether you even want to do business with them, and you've got to set priority, you know, once you do get them. And lastly, then, you've got to figure out how to get the yes. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this later on. I don't get the yes the way a lot of people do, where they, you know, it's like pushy and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I've been successful at, so we'll talk more about that. But the three ways I see it, Will, are in that beginning, middle, and ending. And in that discovery phase, you know, that first priority should always be to work with the people that know, like, and trust you. You know, you've heard me say that before when you and I are talking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right? And they can be existing customers but, you know, moving your customers to clients and having raving fans about you, there's no single greater way to grow your business than working with the people that already know you. You know
that's,
that. I mean, you did that very well.
Tutors. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've got some great following, you know, with the people who follow you, and I know you get a lot of referrals as a result of that. So
Yeah. Sometimes
we lose sight of that. You know, we think we got to go out and get new prospects, which we do, but not at the expense of working that, you know, that part of it.
Right.
And then secondly, you know, there's what I call the universe of suspects, and those are all the people that you suspect you could do business with. These are prospects that are unknown to you, and you have to decide if you're going to find them or they're going to find you. You know, so I happen to believe you need both strategies. You know, you need to have both an inbound and an outbound marketing strategy today. You have to decide what works best for you. But I think you've got to decide what you want to do, because obviously there's a lot of expense involved in some of those things.
Sure.
Right. Well, the other thing that I think a lot of people miss is there's a thing that I call a credibility statement, Will, and that's when you're talking to people, you know, you let them know exactly what it is that you do. And frankly, as important as what you don't do, because you want to qualify them. You know, a lot of people, and I'm sure this happens to you all the time, a lot of people want to do business with you, but they're really not qualified. You know, they don't have the money, or they don't really have the wherewithal to stick with it, you know. And
right.
So you can't be wasting your time with people who you really can't bother.
Yeah.
You know, so once you do qualify the prospect, then you've got to decide how to prioritize them, you know, because, you know, they don't buy on our agenda, they buy on their own. And so you've got to be sure that you're prioritizing when they're going to want to do the buying. And so once you do prioritize them, you want to be in front of them when they have an interest, you know, to do something with you. So that's pretty much it. I know that's I like to keep things simple. You can make it more complicated than that, but if you just do those three things well, I think you'll be pretty successful with your sales process.
Yeah. What are some of the common mistakes that people make in, you know, while they're doing they're in the middle of the sales process?
Yeah, this is amazing to me, because it almost is always the same mistakes. It's not like it's different all the time. The first mistake that people make is they're not prepared. You know, they haven't done their homework. And, you know, today, with all of the stuff that's out there on the Internet, with LinkedIn and everything, boy, if you make a call on a customer and a prospect, and you haven't done your homework, you know, and you're asking them questions that you should have been able to get on your own, it's a dead giveaway, right? You know, and I know you know that, but a lot of people don't do their homework. And so, I mean, the bottom line is, if you want to get a certain number of new business, you have to have a certain number of leads and prospects. And so if you haven't worked those numbers out and you don't have enough leads, obviously you're not going to grow the business the way you want to. So anyhow, lack of preparation, not doing your homework, how many customers, number one.
Yeah. So instead of just going to a sales call and, you know, start talking, you've talked about the questions library. Why is that important?
Well, you know, the library is there has been more change in the last 10 years than in the last 100 years. You know, if you go and look at the books that are still out there today, you know, about selling, there's all kinds of gimmicks, you know, tell them this and then tell them this and then now twist their arm this way and then, you know, bend their leg this way. You know, all of that, you know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a lot of different systems, selling systems out there. Today, it doesn't work. I don't know about you. I don't want to be sold. You know, when somebody starts on me with a sales pitch, and I tune it out, right?
Yeah, I've heard people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy.
That's a great way to look at it. That is, they love to buy, but they don't want to be sold. So what do? You can't talk and tell anymore. You know, it's not appealing. You know, today's relationship-oriented buyers want to buy by being engaged in a conversation. And so by asking a series of well-thought-out questions, you know, buyers will reveal their motivations. And then now you're having a discussion about what they want to do rather than pitching what you think you want them to do.
Right. And then, you know, to take that even back to the systems, we could kind of convert our previously random questions into some sort of like a selling system, like you mentioned.
Yeah. And so this is part of that corporate stuff, you know, that we were talking about a little earlier. You know, they beat that into your brain about doing things in a systematic way. And so there are a couple of things that I do, Will, that really serve me well when it comes to this whole questioning strategy. So, you know, rather than asking random questions, this is the question kind of strategy that I use. So first thing I think about is there are strategic questions, what I'll call strategic questions. Those are the kinds of things where you might ask someone, so what's keeping you up at night, or what's important to you? You know, those are kind of like open-ended, vague questions that are great conversation starters.
Yeah, they really kind of break the ice and get the prospect talking.
Exactly. About what they want to talk about, you know, not about what you want them to talk about.
Right. Which you know I'm guilty of in the past.
Well, it's not unique to you. No, I mean, the thing of it is, Will, I mean, we all want to, we're excited, you're passionate about what you're doing. I get all that, you know. But the problem of it is, it's not, then you can almost see people tune you out when you start. I think you got about 20 seconds to get to deliver a message. You get beyond that, you can almost see them, like, tune you out, you know, when they stop, their eyes roll back in the back of their head, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So the second kind of question is what I call a tactical question. So these are questions that kind of drill down now into more specific, which is, you know, what are you doing to achieve your sales increases? Or, you know, how do you know if customers are buying everything from you that they can? So these are more tactical-oriented questions that begin to drill down into the customer's business.
Very good, yeah. Those are the ones that probably a lot of people already have that they just don't know how, they just don't know when to ask them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, well, what they're doing is telling them the answer to those questions rather than asking them.
Right?
Yeah, and so, you know, the customer's not listening, so if you get them involved, it works out a lot better. The third thing is what I call communications questions. And so a question like that would be, so how would you describe your future customers? You know, how much personal interaction is required to get a final buying decision? Because, you know, at the end of the day, communications is critical. So that would be a third kind of question.
Yeah, very good.
Right. And then lastly, is you get down into the competency kinds of questions, which is really about people. You know, do you have the right people? I mean, you know, you might have all of the things, those first three questions, but if you don't have the right people that you're working with, then you've got a problem. Or how do you develop your people? So anyhow, those are just some examples, Will, but what I do is I try to have like 3 to 5 questions. If I do my research, I'm going to have 3 to 5 questions that I'm going to have in my hip pocket that I'm going to use as conversation starter. Then I'll build it out from there. you know. But that's part of that preparation.
Yeah. So preparing ahead of time, you range those questions premeditated, you know, so that you can ask them in a productive order, you know, so you can kind of control the conversation without really controlling it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't offend anybody. You know, they don't even realize that you're controlling the direction of the conversation, you know, because they're having so much fun and they're talking, so they don't really care. But so, as you know, the first thing we want to do is engage them. So that's the first step when I'm conducting my interview. I want to gain information about what causes a buyer to be passionate or excited. You know, that's a very not intrusive, not, hey, you know, I'm trying to ask you about your profits and whether you're making money. But you know, Will, what could And so that's a great place to start, and that usually gets people engaged with you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely part of it, because if they're not in, you know, if they're not involved, then why are you there?
No, exactly. Exactly. And it usually kind of takes the tension out. It's not unusual for me to say to someone, look, I'm not here to sell you anything today, honestly. And, you know, you can almost see people like go, oh, great, you know.
Yeah.
I just threw the last three guys who tried to sell me something out the door.
Right.
You know, so they're kind of great. You're just there to engage in a conversation with them. And then this is, by the way, I forgot to say something to you. This is called EGO, Engage Genuine Interest and Opportunity. So the E is for engage. The G is for genuine interest. And so that's where you ask about challenges or issues related to the prospect's business or customers. You know, so, for example, I'd like to find out more about how you reach your potential customers, as an example.
Okay.
Would be a genuine interest. You know, so, but, you know, again, you've got to be really authentic about that. If you're like, you know, okay, well, now here's a question that I want to ask. I don't really care, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. You know, that's, man, you're dead in the water. So you've got to be, there's a reason why we're calling it genuine interest. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to sound like a robot. Here are the questions I should ask.
Yeah. 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 That's a good way to get shot right there. You know. So right. You don't want to do that. And then the last thing is opportunities. You know, and this is where it really gets interesting. And I can always tell if I've done a job with the engaging and genuine interest based on how forthcoming people are when I get to the opportunity stage. Because if I haven't, they're not very forthcoming. And if I have, they're usually pretty willing to, you know, to share and, you know, be open and honest. So opportunities questions could be around exploring the process, prospect's readiness to explore solutions. So, you know, how much time could you save if, or what if there were a way to, you know, those are the kinds of things that I would ask under opportunities. And that's where I really am trying to do some, you know, some problem solving.
Right, and you're also kind of laying the foundation for other services that you could offer down the road, you know, just by asking the right those questions.
Totally, yeah. And my mind is just kind of, I'm not saying anything, but I'm just logging those things. I'm just going, okay, there's two or three things that I think, and I might not talk about them today, you know, because my purpose, especially in the first meeting, is just to get a second meeting. This is where a lot of people think, oh, now they're ready to buy. No, they're not ready to buy. They might be ready to talk about it again. So I'm just logging those things. You know, I'm just, okay, there's where I think there's two or three things that come out of that discussion.
Right, right. So earlier you mentioned about getting to yes, and obviously
right.
That's the entire purpose of this is to get to yes. You know, Donald Trump wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. You know, all this we're talking about is getting to that point. So
yes.
What are some best practices to engage prospects and create that decision-making environment?
Okay. Yeah, so I want to make it clear to you, I do not close on customers. You know, a lot, you know, you hear that a lot, like, okay, now we're to the close. The only close I'm going to have with a customer is if I decide I don't want to do business with them and I move them out of my funnel. That's the close, you know. But I'm here to make friends, get to know people, build relationships, And this is where I think a lot of people, especially if they're desperate, kind of where they fall off the wagon. Mm-hmm. You know how you do your, you know, you've got your workshops, you know, your
meetups.
The meetups. You know how people come to your meetups. That really works well, I think, in terms of your value ladder, because people get to know you in a very low-cost way, you know, in a very non-risky kind of situation. So I think it's important that we don't try to take people too far too fast. You know, small business owners don't have a lot of money. So, you know, they've got to be careful how they spend it. So you want to give them some chances to get to know what you can do without too much risk. That's step number one.
Yeah, definitely. The meetups have been great for me. It's a very non-threatening environment. And at the same time, I get to explain or show them my expertise.
Yeah, and you've been doing that for, what, I don't know, 3-4 years?
Now, oh, yeah, well, I'll be going on my fourth year.
Yeah. And your reputation for those meetups is just awesome. You know, I mean, people have come to know you for those meetups, so it's really a great part of your Red Canoe brand.
Right, yeah. You know? I did a broadcast a couple weeks ago with Russ Henneberry, and we kind of talked about the same thing. You know, you have all these people that that know you already, and then you have one prospect that's there, you know, and this guy might see all these people coming in saying, hey, Will, you know, to see you, and man, you know, we're kicking butt and all this stuff, and that guy's sitting over there just going, this is interesting.
Yeah, and they're doing the selling for you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You don't need to do any selling. And that you know how that works. So it's really just an awesome situation. So anyhow, having that value ladder, which is really what you do really well, and giving people a way to get to know you without a lot of risk is number one. So secondly, then, and Will, this is where a lot of people go wrong, especially if you're working in a situation where there are multiple buying roles. You know, different people have different motives when they're buying in an organization if it's two or three people. So, you know, one person might be the economic buyer. You know, that could be a person who makes the buying decisions. The next person could be a recommender buyer. That could be like a purchasing agent. And then there can be like a user buyer. And the user buyer can be the person who actually uses your services. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, and you got to understand those roles before you start, you know, getting too involved, so you can customize what you say around what that person would be most interested in.
Absolutely. There's nothing worse than going into a meeting and finding out halfway through it that there's no decision makers there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a thinking feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what, because we didn't ask enough good questions, you know, we didn't find out what people's roles were, and so that really is a big help if we do that. The next thing, and this is really very seldom do I run into people who anticipate resistance. I anticipate, as a matter of fact, it concerns me if I don't get resistance to my discussion when I'm talking with somebody. You know, everybody's kind of a little bit leery, so I try to anticipate that people are probably gonna not, you know, agree with everything that I've got to say.
Sure.
And so the single biggest mistake that people make, and if people don't get any other takeaway from our discussion today, is when you sense that somebody is resisting you, the worst thing you can do is to say to them, well, you know, Will, let me explain to you what you don't understand. Well, you know, right? And it's a surefire way. It's like, are you not listening to me? I just told you. So if you can just ask a question around their resistance, if you can just say to them, well, tell me more about why you feel that way, but engage them in a conversation around the resistance. Oh my God, it's a game changer.
Yeah, and I guess there's different levels of resistance depending on how you got the lead in the first place, too. You know,
yes.
somebody who was a referral from another trusted friend or something, the resistance is going to be probably lower, but still there.
Yeah, it's always there simply because buyers feel they have a responsibility to do their due diligence, you know.
Right.
And so it's always going to be there in one form or another. So that's that issue of resistance is really kind of critical. The next thing that I see that people need to do better on is presenting with benefits and staying away from features. We really, really tend to want to tell people everything we want to tell them about our company. My company does this, it does that, it does all of these things. When I was a buyer, I told you earlier, you know, Will, that my most foremost sales experience was as a buyer. The buyer's sitting there going, well, okay, I don't need that. Yeah, I don't need that, right? And they got this little checklist in their head. And so you're talking about all these features about what you do, and they're checking off in their head all the things that they don't need. And so then you wonder, you get to the end of it and wonder why they're not interested. So,
right.
you don't want to, you're setting yourself up to fail. I just believe that you've got to present with benefits. So you talk about the things, saving time, saving money, peace of mind, talk about things to begin with that are relevant, obviously, to the buyer, but things that they know when they hear it, they know you're talking to them. I do need to save time. Yeah, I do need to make more money. Yeah, I do need peace of mind. So now they're starting to come along with you, and then as you get them engaged, then you can talk about features. But you really build resistance into the discussion when you start trying to talk about the features of what you do first.
Yeah, and you know what? They're still doing that same checklist, but they're positives instead of negatives.
Yeah, they're in the other column.
Yeah. I'd like to have that. Oh, that sounds good.
Exactly. It's like, oh, yeah, oh, I didn't know I could have that. Yeah, exactly. So, it's up to us to decide which checklist we want to get them started on.
Yeah, so you go through all the different benefits, and then they pull out the checkbook and write you a big fat check, right?
Well, yeah. Okay, don't you wish, huh?
Right.
But here's the thing. I just avoid no. I do not want to get into no. And if you play your cards right and you build the relationship over time, you will eventually get the yes. But I'm not going to do it prematurely by talking to them about features about what I do and then them deciding that they don't need me. So I try to avoid no rather than, anything else.
Yeah. So creating these small wins is overall it's going to be a good thing.
It's what I call my snow off the top of the mountain. I don't know if you've ever seen like on HBO or anything like that where how an avalanche gets started. I don't know if you've ever...
Oh, yeah.
Thing happened, all right? But it's just a little snowball. It starts as just a little snowball, and the next thing you know, it gets to be a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And that's really how selling works. It's not – I've never been successful at going out and getting this huge sale. It's really all these small wins, and then eventually little wins add up. I get excited. I believe in myself. I've got confidence in what I do. The next thing you know, I'm hitting my sales numbers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let me ask you this. Tell me a little bit about your business in particular and how you help other business owners.
Okay. We would probably need another show for me to tell you the whole story.
Okay.
but let me say this. I only work exclusively for family businesses, number one. I am not interested in working. I love the family scenario, and I especially love it if mom and dad want to hand the business off to the kids. I think I can really serve a great purpose in that situation.
Yeah.
The other thing, Will, that I do well is most small businesses are working in their business and not on their business, back to that. And so I spend a lot of time doing strategic thinking and planning with small business owners so that they can get to working on the business and not in it. And, we work on sales and stuff like that, but honestly, if you don't do those things right, if you're not having a good strategy, all the great sales and, selling in the world doesn't work. So,
yeah, Yeah, last week I had Kathy Sexton, you know her, and we talked about productivity, and we also talked about running your business out of your head, you know, and there's definitely something to be said about, especially in a family environment when there's a lot of other things going on, and oh yeah, I'm running a business too.
Well, it's not unusual, especially with the children, that they've got another business in addition to the family business, you know.
Right.
And so they can have these distractions, and it can cause problems. But I love working with family businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've helped me in a lot of different ways with my business, and you've done some great things. How can people get in touch with you? What's your website? What are the best ways to get a hold of you?
They can go to www.simplysuccessful is the best way to get me if you want to do that electronically. I just like to have people call me at 636-484-0208. And I've got my phone on, so if somebody needs me, that's the best way to get started.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you taking some time today to hang out with me.
Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing here. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
My name's Will Hanke. My guest today is Bill Pernatt with Simply Successful. And hopefully we've helped you navigate the rapids a little bit better today. Take care, everybody.